Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for being part of our day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. It comes every week by email on Sunday. Get you ready for the week ahead. And don't forget, included in addition to the two pieces that I write in the newsletter, a long article and then a short one, typically kind of a motivational piece. In addition to all of that, you also get the schedule for the guests that are going to be in the who are going to be on the show that week. And so a lot of people like that part of it. Even if they don't like what I have to say, they like getting the schedule. So that's at jbsba.com. I'm excited about our new friend David Noonan being with us. David is an international consultant. He's been working with companies all over the world, helping them put their best foot forward, and he's written a book that I want you to know about. It's called Aesop and the CEO. David Noonan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Appreciate it.
It's good to have you here, David, and congratulations on your book. It's very, very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate the kind words.
I found so many things in your book that I think small business owners can benefit from a practical standpoint, from a motivational standpoint, from the standpoint of you know, really speaking to their spirit, which is one of the things that I like to talk about in addition to the fundamentals of operating a business. But another reason why you focused on this book is because of ethical reasons and some the ways that we deal with each other in business with regard to trust and ethical issues. And I'd like for you to talk to us a little bit about what you were thinking about, what motivated you to combine Aesop's fables with business principles.
Okay. A few years ago, I picked up the newspaper and I was reading the business section, and there were 8 separate stories about corporations that had either committed fraud, defrauded investors, given out less than quality goods, and were being fined. And I thought to myself, 8 different stories. Are things getting worse? Things seem to be getting worse.
You know, David, I almost remember that day. I remember a Wall Street Journal, and I literally got my magic marker out and my highlighter, I should say, and I circled all the different reports of that kind of thing. You and I were probably doing it the same day. It was amazing how many things in one paper.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you, I know we've had our con artists and our war profiteers and the robber barons throughout history, but it just seems that things are getting worse. And the downside to some of this malfeasance seems to be getting worse. I mean, one man, Bernie Ebbers, decides to cook the books, and now all of a sudden 17,000 people have lost their jobs. So
the
downsides are very serious now.
That was the largest corporate scandal, I guess, in history. It's in terms of the largest bankruptcy, I guess I should say, in history. And not only did people lose their jobs, but look at all the investors, what they lost.
And all the money that was gone. And so it struck me, it's like, you know, we really need to get back to basics on what it means to run a business, small business included. And that includes ethically performing your work and doing the right thing. If you do, it's as critical to the long-term survival of a business as just a strong bottom line. And so what better way, I figured, than to go back to these, you know, Aesop fables, which I learned as a child too, mm-hmm. and marry the two of them together. And if you look at some of those fables, which you pointed out were for adults, not children, you look at them through the prism of business, you can see that there's some wonderful lessons that we business people can learn from this ancient wisdom 2,600 years ago.
Give us an example of an Aesop fable that could help us sort of be a touchstone for us from an ethical standpoint.
From an ethical standpoint, okay. Well, one of the ones that struck me is that there's the story of the monkey and the dolphin. Mm-hmm. And sailors used to take these animals on board to entertain the sailors. And one sailor brought aboard a monkey. There's a shipwreck, and everyone gets pitched into the sea. A dolphin happens to be swimming by, sees the monkey, and offers to ride it to its to shore. They start up a conversation as they're going, and the Dolphin asks, well, are you from around here? Are you an Athenian? And the monkey lies and says, yes, I am. And the dolphin then says, well, you must know Piraeus, which is the harbor in Athens. The monkey, thinking this must be some kind of famous citizen, says, oh, sure, I know him. He's a very dear friend. The dolphin obviously says, this guy's lying, dives to the bottom of the sea, and the monkey drowns.
Right.
But the lesson that comes out of that is, and this is for managers, small business managers, is that you've got to give straight answers. If there's some difficult times, people can take tough news if you give it to them honestly.
Right.
And there's a story in there about Rudolph Giuliani in the wakes of the September 11th attacks, and
mm-hmm.
how he was asked all these questions, and the events were so catastrophic, he couldn't answer them, and so he had to say, I don't know.
Isn't that a term that more politicians need to learn how to say?
Absolutely.
And business people.
And business people. It's okay. You don't need to know everything, and it's okay to confess that. I don't know, but I will get the answer to you.
One of the things that I try to say, that I do say to people, when someone you know, gives me credit for something that I didn't do, or if they make a statement about something that I didn't receive, or whatever it might be, I like to say this. I like to say, look, wait a minute. I'm not going to fly under false colors. So I didn't do that or whatever. And we all ought to be paying more attention to that. And I like your story. The key is that we all have plenty of things that we can be proud of, that we're good at. We don't have to fly under false colors.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're doing things well, and people just need to know that.
One of the things I would like to point out, though, David, with regard to all the malfeasance in the marketplace, and I've told the audience this before, I did the math on this one time. I added up all the people that I could find that were prominently, in the news who had committed these crimes in these major corporations, and I did the math on that number compared to the total number of publicly held companies, and the people who were the ones that we're talking about, the infamous ones. Eight ten thousandths of 1%.
Isn't that remarkable?
We got a lot of people out there doing something right. You know what?
Absolutely.
So we can't lose sight of that either when we talk about this, can we?
No, absolutely not. And one of the things I think about, Jim, is size an enemy to ethics? Is it better to have small business? You get certain size, people tend to think that we can cut here and no one will notice.
Right. Hold on to that thought, David. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, when we come back, I want David to talk to us about the fox and the lion. That's another fable that I like. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with David Noonan. She's got it. Yeah, baby, she's got it. The night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. No, I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and David Noonan is our guest and our new friend, but not for long. He's after this visit, he's going to become an old friend. We're going to get him back on the show. He's got a lot of things to talk to us about. He's the author of Aesop and the CEO. David, give us your website, please, and tell us where your book is available.
Okay, it's www.aesopandtheceo.com. That's all one word, no ampersand, spell out and.
Aesop and the CEO.
The CEO.
And by the way, folks, I'm not sure if I weren't looking at the book, I could absolutely spell Aesop, but it's AESOP. So just remember AE and then Standard Operating Procedure, and then AesopandtheCEO.com, and check it out. Can they order the book from your website?
Yes, they can.
Okay, but it's been out about a month, and so it's available wherever books are sold. Look for it in airports, I'm sure, and wherever. It's a neat little book, folks. And David, I want to get into on page 71. There's a fable about the fox and the lion. Tell us about that.
Okay, let me give you the quick fable. Is that there's a fox scurrying through the woods, and he comes across a lion, and of course these are enemies. And being frightened, the fox scurries deep into the woods. These same two meet a couple of days later, but this time the fox doesn't run. He stops, and they actually exchange greetings. And the third time they meet, the fox felt no fear at all, and he actually asked the lion about the health of his family. And the moral, according to Aesop, is, you know, you tend to fear opponents less as you get to know them better. And it's there is opportunity for small business owners to actually consort with the enemy in terms. And one of the classic examples is this small hardware store that was frightened because Home Depot was moving in.
Right.
And that can be the death knell for many a hardware store. But this man was actually able to befriend Home Depot, and Home Depot sells those propane tanks for your grill, but they don't fill them. He filled them, so he actually got Home Depot to recommend, well, if you need those filled, go right down the corner of the street here, and you can get them filled at this hardware store.
That is such an important lesson, and that's the reason this fable is so important, David, because what my audience has heard me say this before. The people you think are your competitors, you really should think about them as your next prospective partner.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a sidebar to this whole thing, is that what this small business does, and I think small business in general tend to do better, is the service in the small hardware store is amazing. I don't even get out of the car. I'm in the parking lot. And they've got someone stationed there that says, what are you looking for today? It's on aisle 3 as soon as you walk in. That service. I've been lost in these Home Depots sometimes, these looking for some help. So the service angle is great.
Which brings me to another fable that I like, and that's the stag in the pool. And this is basically about an animal that was proud of the wrong things and overlooked the wrong things, overlooked the good things, didn't he?
That's right. He sees himself as a reflection in a pool, looks at this beautiful antlers and says, wow, that's an impressive piece of hardware. And then he curses his skinny legs and his small hooves and says, these are no match for this noble headpiece. Just then an arrow zips by his head, and he bounds into the deeper woods. And as soon as he's out of harm's way, he starts craning his neck again to get a look at the antlers. He gets them caught in some brush. The hunter hears him, puts an arrow in him, and as the stag lies dying, he says, you know, woe is me. I didn't appreciate. I thought these antlers were what differentiated me, and the fact is it was my legs, skinny legs and hooves, that saved my life.
Which for small business owners, David, that's us looking at, you know, being so excited about our products and not realizing that our products are like probably everybody else's products, and not appreciating the fact that, as you said earlier about the hardware company, how they deliver those products. That's the difference.
That's right. And that's a way to differentiate yourself. I mean, small business has differentiated itself. They need to know how they've done that, and they've done well, should celebrate that success. But they also have to, you know, understand, are there other things that differentiation isn't just low cost. You've got to give the customer something of value and if you do, even if there's an economic downturn, they'll still go to you. And whether that's service, I will still go to that hardware store, even though it may be a few cents more, because they've differentiated themselves with service.
Absolutely. Well, and folks, I wanted to point out the architecture of David's book. In addition to the fable that he offers, he then offers an Aesop moral, and then he talks about a story that he's a real life contemporary story that he's found, and then a business moral that complements Aesop's moral. And so, David, you just done a great job. And by the way, I think the longest chapter is 3 pages, right?
Exactly.
So
it's fun to read.
Quick read. You don't have to read it from cover to cover. You can go to the middle and find something you like. And so I congratulate you on that. David, give us your website one more time.
Okay, it's www.aesopandtheceo.com.
All right. David, thank you for being here. Good job on your book. Congratulations. Will you come back another day?
Absolutely. This has been a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing you again.
We got more to talk to you about. We'll get you back again real soon. Thanks, David, for being here. David Noonan, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Aesop and the CEO, Wherever Books Are Sold. Quick break. Right back with Skip Miller. We're going to talk about salesmanship. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.